we were discussing this morning. You're going, or you are at Little Cayman.
I'm going there at the end of the week. Yeah, okay. I go down there every year to this little desert island and catch fish and hang out. It's very quiet. Very nice.
Well, we were discussing, without really knowing much about it, of course, you would go to Little Cayman because everybody else would go to Large Cayman. You're not a big Cayman guy. You are very much of the Little Cayman variety.
I am, yes. Yeah. Grand Cayman. That's where people go and hide their money, right? It's one of those places. Mm. It's one of those banking places. It's full of extraordinarily rich people looking to keep their money quiet. Mm-hmm. Where I go, there's 180 people in one road, and it's probably people keep their. I suspect there's the odd person there who has dropped out of another life, you know, and is under an assumed name.
Oh, is that an option? I had no idea. Take me with you, please. Good Lord,
the Caribbean's full of those guys. We were down. I was down fishing with my son and a buddy one year, and there was this guy. We were in a very remote part of the Bahamas, not the touristy Bahamas. And there was this guy, you know, who we were introduced, supposed to be the guy, kind of the guy who looked after the house and stuff, and the handyman guy, and his name was like Jim. And he showed up one day and he said, "Hey, Jim," and it was fine. And the next day he said, "Hey, Jim, how are you doing?" He said, "It's not Jim anymore. It's Grover now."
You don't ask any more questions, do you?
No, that just, there's something happened, you know, somebody, if anybody comes looking, it's Grover.
Grover. I feel like Jim would be more inconspicuous, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Grover is conspicuous. But that's why I remember it. So, yeah, I hope Grover Jim is okay.
I wanted to talk to you. We were discussing a little bit earlier, and I've talked about it probably too much on the air. I dig Rob Gronkowski. I think that he does not appear to a guy to me that's a guy that has a lot that had a lot of stress or anxiety or a lot of that in his life. He did, and you're fortunate, I guess, when you are gifted that sort of body and skill set. You're going to be paid a lot of money. You're going to be given a lot of opportunity, and there will not be a lot of things you're going to have to do that you don't want to do. But really kind of marched to his own beat, was playful, childish perhaps, but has now found himself in retirement at the age of 30 and is enjoying his life. I'm not sure all athletes get that opportunity.
Yeah, he's a fascinating guy. Because on one hand, you look at him and say, well, he's this big, goofy, overgrown kid, right? I think that's kind of the impression. And, you know, he's from Buffalo, right? So you kind of think, well, if he wasn't playing football, he'd be hanging out with the Bills Mafia guys, you know, jumping through tables and things, right? That's kind of the impression,
right?
That he's the happy-go-lucky. But I'll tell you something. He's a smart cat. Like a great, as you said, like a great athlete, redefined the position in some ways with what he could do. You know, and if you look at the guys that are going to be in the Super Bowl, Kelce and Kittle, right? These kind of super tight end types. Well, you know, Gronk was kind of the first guy who tight end who could, you know, run like a wide receiver and block like an offensive lineman. He's a freak of an athlete. But yeah, there's that. You know, there's the Gronk part of his personality. And if you're on, you know, I'm not on social media a whole lot, but people who are, you can see his antics on there. But you know, he's been really smart with his money. You know, the famous story about him is he has banked all of his salary, all of his playing, all of the money he made from his salary and lived off his endorsement money.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his bank account's just fine. You know, when I crossed paths with him in town here, for the reason we're talking about him, because this open invitation piece is going to run, I think later today. He was in here pumping CBD product.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a lot of stuff on the go. A lot of really kind of clever business things on the go. And, you know, people keep asking me, you know, is he going to come back and play? I don't think he is. You know, like he got beat up really badly, right? His body took a huge pounding. And, he got out of the game intact. He's got lots of money. I think it would be, you know, I think he thinks, that, you know, I think he likes playing football, but it seems to me that he's kind of got to figure it out more than most of these guys do.
He's lost a lot of weight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. It's not quite his football body anymore. You know, you can see, but you know, he's like super fit, but definitely not as big as he was. You know, and look, the Patriots could have used him this year. You know, they Tom Brady didn't have a guy like him on that team, and you know, might have made a bit of a difference. But yeah, I didn't sense talking to him that he was a guy who was desperate to go back and kind of subject himself to the physical demands and the pain that are involved in playing football. And again, the honest truth is, I don't think he has to, which is, you know, at age 30 is pretty cool.
And what's the saying, Steve, a fool and his money will soon be parted or whatever, however that goes. You would have thought that this might be a kid making millions of dollars and he's a goof, he's childish, he's immature, that he would be the guy who would be down and out and, man, I bought 19 gold bathtubs. I can't believe things went wrong. Here's a guy who is the complete opposite from all appearances.
Yeah, yeah, and he's happy to play. You know, again, I think the, you know, the Gronk, the fun Gronk, that's a real guy too. You know, like, I think he does like to have fun, and God love him for it, right? If I was him, I'd be having all kinds of fun. But yeah, do not underestimate him, because yeah, there's a very savvy guy, you know, beneath that kind of comic book exterior. There's a very savvy guy, and yeah, I don't think there'll be any tag days for him, and he's not a guy who we're going to see dragging himself out on the football field, you know, half crippled, which you do see guys that game, you know, look, I love football, you guys, you know, but it does, you know, it's the question my wife always asks me about. She'd say, you know, can you watch that with a clear conscience? And, you know, part of it is you got to kind of check that at the door, because it does terrible things to people's bodies. It really does wreck people. And it's an incredibly violent game. If you ever, you know, stand on the sideline for an NFL game, I've been a ringside for boxing lots, and I've stood on the sideline a few times for NFL games. Standing on the sideline at an NFL game is far more harrowing than being ringside for a fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just the size of the guys, the speed, the you know, the distances close so quickly, the collisions on every play. So, yeah, he's a guy who, you know, like, again, he may prove me wrong here and come back and play next year. Who knows? But I did not get the feeling that he was desperate to get back on the field.
Well, and I feel like I've derailed the show a couple times today, but kind of because we were talking about the Netflix documentary around
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. Same draft. These two guys are taken. They play the same position. And there, again, you talk about the game, the punishment and all of that. I don't know if football caused Aaron Hernandez to do the things he did, but it can go very, very wrong. And have you had a chance to see that yet?
I have just stuck my nose into it, you know, and in the story, and God knows I've read reams and reams of stuff about Aaron Hernandez. Like, I know there's the CTE part of it, and people talked about that. You know, they did donate his brain. They found, but there's such a stew of terrible things going on in his life. I think trying to point in any one direction, say that's why he became what he became, is pointless, right? That's like bad dads, you know. See, there's just a lot.
It
of
is
stuff
a lot,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not a pretty picture, though, is it?
No. It's not like you can. But at the end of the day, it's all just peak sadness. As far as Gronk, well, you mentioned he's living the life. Where is he living, and what is day to day look like for him without giving away much from Open Invitation?
I think I think he's still kind of splitting his time between his family are not far from here. He's got a place in Boston. I think he spends a lot of time in California. You know, I think he kind of bops around from place to place. And I think he's, doing his thing. He's like this company. He's not just a spokesman for the CBD stuff. He's got money in this. So that, I think, is the primary business focus right now. You know, it's interesting because it's funny talking to him because he's, on one hand, he's there to pitch this product, which is, you know, pain relief stuff. And again, he knows a lot about pain. But watching him trying to kind of keep the corporate line and, you know, he wanted to make sure that the conversation didn't lurch into, you know, weed per se, you know, that it was all about, you know, CBD. This is not THC. This is CBD. It's different. And I kept saying to him, pal, it doesn't matter. Like, it's legal here. You can walk down the street and go to Pot Ontario and buy something right on the corner if you want to. But he was very careful about trying to kind of maintain the line to so that no one could possibly imagine that he would use it for recreational purposes.
Other things that we were going to discuss today, we'll find out about Larry Walker, whether or not the Baseball Hall of Fame is going to call his name. What would you put the percentage at? Are you confident or not so much?
I'm not confident. It's going to be close. I don't think he's going to get in. I think he's just going to fall short. He was in the publicly revealed ballots. He's at about 85%. You need 75 to get in, but he dropped 10% last year between the two. And then, you know, just kind of hearing what some of the voters are saying. I think it's going to be close, but no cigar. Now, in 2 years from now, the Veterans Committee, the Veterans Committee looks at a different period in history every year. 2 years from now, it's kind of, you know, essentially contemporary baseball. I think you'll have a very good chance to get in when the Veterans Committee meet in 2 years, but I got a feeling today it's going to be like 73 or something, like just kind of a heartbreaking number for him. And you know that, you know what the debate is, right? It's the people say it's the Coors Field thing, right? That's what's killing him. You know, his OPS was 200 points higher in Coors Field than it was elsewhere. And it's not his fault he played there. You play where you play. It feels to me like he's a guy, you know, that kind of had the rug pulled out from under him a couple of times, you know, especially in 94. You know, if the Expos win the, you know, if that season plays out in 94 and the Expos win the World Series, we're not having this debate. You know, he's in. And the Expos are probably still in Montreal. But, you know, that didn't happen. He didn't get his moment in the spotlight. Playing in Montreal, you're kind of off to one side. You know, he did play in the postseason with Colorado, but I think people have seemed to be able to find reasons not to vote for him. And look, I don't, you know, you guys know I gave up my vote because of the PED referendum it turned into. I didn't want to participate, but look, if I were voting, he would have been on my ballot his first year of eligibility.
And I wanted to ask you about that because I was pretty sure that's how that went. I knew you had a vote. Is there a part of you now in 2020 where you see the way that performance-enhancing drugs and all of that has, not that it's become more commonplace, maybe it has, or just we're more accepting and forgiving of it. Is there part of you, maybe not that regrets giving that up, but if you had that, do you know what I mean? If you had that vote, do you feel like maybe that was a decision you look back and think, well, if I'd have known, I probably should have just kept it?
No, because I think it's still a mess. You know, no one knows what the criteria are. Right. Like everybody's kind of making it up on the fly here. And like, it's going to be interesting. You know, Bonds and Clemens are going to move up again this year. They're, you know, but I don't think either of them are going to get in. And I'm not sure either of them are ever going to get in, but they're going to move up the ballot. So that debate is ongoing. You know, McGuire's not going to get in. Sosa's never going to get in. Look at what we just went through with the Astros. I'm not sure I'll be around for the Jose Altuve ballot, but how are people going to deal with that one?
I know that whole thing, yeah. Steve, I don't want to. Marcus Stroman retweeted a thing this morning on his Twitter, and it's a video going back. I think it was set out first in November, but it's a game that they played. I believe it's 2017
July,
and it's just a collection of him on the mound, Stroman, throwing off speed pitches, and you could just hear the bang, 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 yeah, echoing throughout the stadium before, as soon as the catcher delivers the signal, you hear the thud of that garbage can. And
Stroman talks about how he's like, I was wondering how they're laying off some of my like nasty pitches.
Yeah.
They're laying off everything.
It's incredible the stuff that's now coming out to the degree
And then you got Pete Rose saying that, you know, what the Astros did is worse than what he did, and this and this and this.
Yeah. But
are you surprised that it took so many people?
If something happens where Pete Rose can claim the moral high ground, we're in bad.
Yeah, we are
in spot, right?
That's uncharted ground for sure. But I am stunned in a way that it took this long because so many people had to know what was going on. Well, they did know. All those guys knew what was going on, and they managed to keep it quiet this long, or at least to the degree that no one was going to believe them if they went with it.
Well, you needed somebody from inside to do it, right? You needed somebody who was on the team. That's why Mike Fiers, you know, who got criticized in a couple of places for being the whistleblower. You needed somebody who was actually there, because the guys who were there have benefited from it. And the guys who, you know, like, everybody's had suspicions, but, you know, until somebody who's on the inside turns, you know, it's always the aggrieved former employee, right? Like, all great news stories start with an aggrieved former employee. Somebody's got an axe to grind, and you needed that to happen. So, like, you know, science dealing in baseball in the kind of accepted way has been part of baseball since there's been baseball. But, you know, a lot of people pointed that Houston, look, the Houston guys were super smart and super smug, But everybody thought they had the magic formula, right? That they were ahead of the game on analytics. You know, and they were. You know, they used the technology better than anybody did. They're the first guys to use the TrackMan machines. Everybody had them. People were hiring people from that organization because they assumed that they were smarter than everyone else. Mm. You know, the strange part of it is not so much that, you know, that they did something, but that the first version of it is as primitive as somebody banging on a garbage can. Now it sounds like they may have refined that technique, you know, down the road with the buzzers or whatever they were using. Like, I totally believe that now.
It's hard to believe just about anything you hear now.
Correct. That's absolutely right. Like, I'm normally a skeptic, right? Like, I'm normally the guy, and I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, and I'm usually the guy saying, no, there's a simpler explanation for this. But with these guys in this case now, I believe everything. Right? Like, I believe, you know, again, because they're the Astros, because the way that that organization worked, because they figured out one thing, like, why wouldn't you just clean it up a little bit and say, hey, you know, if we stop banging a garbage can, we just wire these guys. Like, they were incredibly, you know, anybody will tell you, anybody in baseball will tell you that they were incredibly arrogant. You know, they were above it all. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you say, well, why would they think they would possibly get away with it? Well, because they were the Astros.
Yeah.
And you know what? They didn't.
I always love to think about, at the very beginning, the genesis of it all. There would have been some closed door meeting, maybe two or three. It's like, okay, listen, hear me out. Here's what we're going to do. We'll set up a camera, and then we'll have a camera feed into the down underneath, and I'll just smash the garbage. I'll like have a set of cymbals. Like, what other things did they have? tippy toe. Like, what did they have as the signal to alert the batter that an off speed pitch was coming before they landed on garbage can?
But it worked.
I know. Yeah.
It worked, right? Like, again, that's not the only reason why, you know, Springer and Altuve and Correa and all those guys are great players. But man, if you were standing there and you knew, okay, breaking ball coming, it makes baseball a lot easier. Baseball's hard. That would make it considerably easier. Yeah.
So Open Invitation is the new series that you're involved with. Your face is right plastered on the front of it. That beautiful mug.
Thank you. Yeah, it is great, isn't it? That glamour pose. Gronk will be out, I believe, at 4 o'clock your time, again, through the usual digital platforms. So on our website, probably, certainly on our YouTube channel. But I believe also that the Gronk episode next Monday will be airing on all Sportsnet channels. It will be television next week as well. So I may be able to confirm that by the end of the week. Who knows?
Very good stuff. Appreciate it, Steve. Have a great week.
All right. Thanks, guys.